Welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast, where Linda Schmulowitz
and Jessica Sawicki will share answers to all your questions related to your children's sleep and parenting of young children. We are both certified gentle sleep coaches.
Thanks for tuning in to hear the answers to the many questions that come up with the families we work with. Welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast. I'm Linda Schmulowitz, owner of Sleep Tight Consultants, and I'm here today with Jess, and we have a special guest here as well. We have Dr. Laura Gleason, physical therapist, who we're going to let introduce herself. We're super excited that she's joining us here to talk all about postpartum physical therapy and pelvic floor health and all of that good stuff that everybody should probably know a whole lot more about. So welcome, Laura. Thanks for coming. If you could introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you live, what you do, and who your family is, all of those details.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on. So I am a physical therapist specializing in pelvic health as well as orthopedics, and especially passionate about working with pregnant and postpartum people. I live in Evanston. I see patients in Chicago physical therapists in kind of a traditional physical therapy clinic setting. I also have a business called Beyond the Bump Wellness, which the mission of that is to provide guidance and support and education to people during pregnancy and postpartum through workshops, consultations, talking to moms groups, things like that, to kind of fill the gap of the lack of postpartum care that we do get so often. I firmly believe that ideally everyone would benefit from seeing a physical therapist after having a baby. I think it just kind of makes sense after having such a huge event to our bodies. That is the standard of care in some other countries, that you just automatically go to PT and do rehab. Unfortunately, we're pretty far from that here in the US. Ideally, everyone would get to PT, but there's also barriers. And I recognize that there's barriers for people getting into an actual physical therapy setting and seeing somebody one-on-one. So I think doing the workshops and the work I do with Beyond the Bump Wellness is helping fill the gap so that if you can't get to PT, or maybe before you get to PT, you're not just left like Googling at 2 a.m. and going down that rabbit hole. So that's a little bit about me professionally. I also am a mom. I have two daughters who are 6 and 8. So I wish this podcast was around back then when they needed some sleep, when I needed some sleep help. But yeah, that's a little bit about me.
So you briefly spoke about it, but do you want to tell us a little bit more about how you decided to become a physical therapist and what really made you decide to focus on working with postpartum moms?
Sure. So I'm very fortunate, one of those unique people that kind of knew what they wanted to do when they grew up, were able to kind of get into the program and the schooling, and now almost 18 years later, I still love what I do. I really started becoming interested in PT, like as an athlete growing up and just being fascinated with the body and how we heal from injuries and things like that. So I worked in kind of a traditional outpatient orthopedic setting for the first part of my career. And then I became interested in pelvic health and postpartum care through my own experience almost 9 years ago with my first daughter. I had a pretty rough physical recovery and realized that there just really was not much of any support, especially even 9 years ago. And so I started taking all the coursework and doing everything I could to learn about pelvic health, pelvic floor, postpartum care to help myself, but then also became really passionate about helping other people and really kind of shifted the trajectory of my career to more pelvic health, more postpartum focused.
So if you had 10 to 20 seconds to tell somebody about what pelvic floor physical therapy is, you know, you're on the elevator and they're like, oh, what do you do? It's your elevator speech. How would you describe it?
So I'm a physical therapist and I help people heal just like any other physical therapist. I specifically specialize in pelvic health and perinatal care. So really helping people throughout that stage of life with aches and pains during pregnancy, preparing for labor and delivery, and then fully recovering postpartum.
And so what are the common issues or problems that the patients come to you for? Like what type of issues are you treating?
So in terms of postpartum specifically, see a lot of people suffering from urinary incontinence or leaking pee. constipation, really any kind of bowel or bladder concerns. And this goes from not just in the perinatal period, but I see people throughout the lifespan with this. But bowel or bladder issues, prolapse symptoms, so heaviness or pressure, any kind of pain, so pain with intercourse, pelvic pain, back pain, any kind of pain anywhere that's limiting you. And then a lot of core concerns, so diastasis recti, abdominal separation, that type of thing, people that are just kind of wanting to fully rehab their core. It's usually not just one thing that people come in to see me. There's usually a complex of different concerns. And once they're in PT, maybe we're treating incontinence, but then they start having problems with carpal tunnel or mommy thumb or elbow pain or back pain or whatever. But those are kind of the most typical things I see.
So if you could describe the experience that a patient has when they first come to meet with a postpartum physical therapist for that initial evaluation, and then what does a regular visit usually entail?
Sure. So I love this question because I think this actually is one of the barriers for people getting into PT is that they don't know what it's all about. Maybe they're intimidated or they're uncertain, and then so they just never quite make the appointment. So if you're in that boat, I can hope get your mind at ease. It looks very much like any other physical therapy appointment. So I think more people are familiar with what kind of traditional outpatient orthopedic kind of PT looks like. So basically you come in and we do a really thorough subjective history. So we do a lot of talking that first visit. I want to know all about how your pregnancy went. So if this is somebody that's postpartum, I want to know how the pregnancy went. I want to know how labor and delivery went, kind of that birth story, and then what you're experiencing currently. If this was a subsequent pregnancy, I want to know what your previous experiences were like as well as did you have any concerns pelvic floor-wise or otherwise prior? So sometimes when I'm starting to ask these questions, people are like, oh yeah, I actually did kind of pee my pants sometimes in high school cross country. So that's important information for me to know as well. And then certainly what your goals are. I want to know what people want to get back to or what they really want out of PT, because that's obviously the most important thing. And that's going to drive what we do next and where we go with their sessions. And then there's just a lot of education. So if there's any kind of pelvic floor concerns, bowel, bladder, sexual concerns, then I'm getting out my pelvic model. I'm showing them, here's your anatomy. This is what the muscles do. This is how they connect to the rest of the body, and really just giving a lot of education, because for most people, this is brand new to them. They don't know this stuff. And I so often get the comment of like, why do I not know this? Why am I a 35-year-old woman and don't know this about my pelvic floor, about this huge part of my body? So lots of education. Then we kind of move into objectively looking at the person. So I'm looking at everything from how they're breathing and how they're standing, how they move, to looking at the range of motion, strength. Again, this is going to depend on what their concerns are. But if somebody's leaking while they're running, I might get them running that very first visit and looking at their running mechanics, or I might have them do single leg squats and see how they control their pelvis and if they have symptoms. So it really kind of varies depending on the person. But then the question that a lot of people are really concerned about is like, well, what about the pelvic floor part? So if their concerns do warrant a pelvic floor assessment, then I really, again, give a lot of education about that and let them know why this is important. And if they are obviously have full consent and are on board with us, then we do the pelvic floor assessment. And what that looks like and how I explain it to patients is that I look at the muscles, the pelvic floor muscles, just like any other muscles or any other part of the body. I need to be able to test strength. Can the muscle contract? Can the muscles relax? Can they coordinate with the rest of your body and the rest of the system? Is there any tension or tightness in the area that might be inhibiting function? Things like that. So it's just like I would look at a quadricep muscle or a bicep muscle in somebody. It's just the pelvic floor muscles are in a unique location. So in order to assess them, the gold standard is really intravaginally or internally. And for some people, hopefully most people, but I know that's not the case, their midwife maybe tested a little bit of strength in that 6-week visit. And so it's similar to that, but much more thorough. And so I take a gloved, lubricated finger intravaginally. I'll have people squeeze. I'll have people relax. I will test all of the muscles to see how they are functioning, if anything reproduces or pain, things like that. So that's kind of all of the assessment piece of it. And then based on everything that we find there, we kind of develop a plan of care, and that's what guides the subsequent visits. So we're certainly giving things to people that they can do at home. So whether that's exercises or things that they can think about with their body mechanics or their pressure management or anything like that. We're typically doing some kind of manual hands-on therapy, and then exercises, neuromuscular re-education. What that means is just kind of reconnecting your mind and your body. So like reconnecting with that core, finding those low abs again. That's a really common thing postpartum. So things like that.
When you said that before about how you're a 35-year-old woman, you're like, why don't I know this? It occurs to me that for my kids who are in high school or middle school and they have gym and they have health and they do all of that anatomy education. And first of all, no one wants to know about that at that age, because that just doesn't feel important to us at that point in time. And also no one's paying attention. It's also being taught by your gym teacher. So I feel like there should be this like mandatory education for all women, like maybe in your 20s. Not that you don't need to know about it before, then you should, but when you actually might be able to take that information in and be like, oh, okay, I'm no longer of an adolescent brain and I can absorb this information and it's going to be relevant to me in the somewhat near future. But there's no moment in time where that happens. And sadly, I don't think that most people's OB is going to do that kind of education when you go in for your annual visit. So there's just no place for it, sadly.
Yeah, I think that would be so ideal. I personally also would love to have like a baseline on people testing pelvic floor strength, testing abdominal strength before they ever get pregnant. So you know what your baseline is, because some people don't have a super strong pelvic floor, but they never really did. So is our goal to get them super strong? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they just kind of need to get back to what they were able to function with previously. And I see this a lot with diastasis recti or that abdominal separation too. It's so normal to have some separation anyways. And so some people get really kind of fixated on, I need to close the gap. I need to get it more narrow. And really, they might be just the same as they were pre-babies. And as long as they're functional and can engage their abs well, then that may be as good as they're going to get. And that's great.
I feel like this is an argument for pelvic floor physical therapists in every OB practice, so that at some point in your 20s, before you start having children, you have that evaluation. That's just like a regular part of standard of care, that like this visit is the one where the physical therapist comes in and sees you. And now we have that baseline.
Do you mostly see first-time moms, or do they often not come to you until like after a couple of pregnancies?
Both. So I think more and more people are becoming more educated about pelvic floor physical therapy. I'm seeing it just even in the past 5 years, there's been such a change that I think there certainly are first-time moms that come in even during pregnancy. They come in and they're like, well, I'm feeling pretty good in pregnancy. I just want to know how to best be prepared for labor and for that early postpartum. And so I love that so much. And it's usually just one or two visits and they kind of feel a lot more empowered and ready to take on whatever may come. And then certainly if somebody is postpartum first time and they're having symptoms and concerns, then they're going to hopefully come in. I also see people that come in after a second, third, fourth baby, where maybe they had a not so great experience the first time around and didn't really know about PT. Maybe they just couldn't do it. They were a brand new mom. They just couldn't wrap their head around getting to an appointment, things like that. And so then the second time around, the third time around, they're much more motivated to have a different experience. So they're wanting to come into PT and really help themselves. Or I do see also people in between pregnancies that they maybe had a baby and they're like, I want to get my body in as good of shape as I can before I hopefully get pregnant again, so that I'm at like a good starting point. So that's a really a great time to come in also.
This may be a stupid question, but if they don't get the necessary PT after their first pregnancy and they keep on going, like, does that just make things worse and worse?
All right, Jess, are you asking for a friend?
no friend here. I feel like you said, had you done it in the beginning, now you're getting pregnant second, third time, it's getting just like worse, or to the point where I don't know if you can't fix it or you can really pretty much fix it all, even though they haven't gotten the necessary PT before, right?
Yeah, it depends. So I think it's important to recognize that every pregnancy is different. So for anybody that's had more than one pregnancy and delivery, you know that even in the same body, each pregnancy and each experience can be really, really different, which is great for people that didn't have a great first experience. You can kind of say it's not necessarily going to get worse. It's not going to be worse every time. At the same time, our tissues have already gone through these huge changes after one pregnancy. For anybody that's been pregnant more than once, you just know that you start showing way sooner with a subsequent pregnancy, right? Because your abdominals and all your tissues have been through this before, and so they kind of know what to do. So I think it is ideal, again, that you would rehab and get as good as you can before you would go through another pregnancy. It kind of just makes sense. If you think of it like any other thing, like say you're running a race and you have a knee injury and then you have another race in like 6 months, you wouldn't just say like, well, I'm just going to keep hobbling around and just get through this next race. You'd probably want to try to get your knee as good as possible so that you feel, even if the next race kind of makes your knee hurt again, you're as good as you can heading into that. I do sometimes hear people say like, well, I'm just going to wait till I'm done having babies and then go to PT. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because why would we just kind of neglect our health during this time where we need to be super physically strong when we're dealing with newborns and toddlers? Like, that's really hard on our body. We need to be kind of on our A game and as good as we can. So yeah, that's my answer to that.
So I was wondering, how regularly do you see patients? Is it once a week, twice a week? How long does it typically take to see improvement? And then I guess the other question, which I feel like you've answered, is it ever too late to really make these improvements?
Yeah, my goal is for people to see improvement, some kind of improvement right away, whether they're having some back pain when they're nursing, right? So giving them different tips for body mechanics when they're breastfeeding or bottle feeding their babies that they can kind of do like literally 2 hours after the appointment, they can implement something like this. Or different bladder habits to think about. So things that they can do right away so that hopefully they're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, some improvement immediately. Same thing with the workshops that I do. I always try to give kind of concrete strategies and things that people can take right away. In terms of how often people come in and how long it takes to kind of fully get better or reach their goals, it really, really depends. I would say on average, people come in once a week to my clinic. I think that's pretty typical of most pelvic floor PTs. If somebody is dealing with some prolapse symptoms, incontinence, but then they also have this neck pain that's really flared up, then maybe we'll do twice a week. One time we'll focus on pelvic floor, one time we'll focus on their neck. So we can certainly do more than once a week. That seems to be kind of the sweet spot though of what is reasonable for people to come in and do. Although I love for people to bring their babies too. So that makes it a little bit easier and I get my baby fix. So I think some people come in more than once a week. Some people come in less than once a week. As you're continuing to get better and you need less manual therapy or less specific guidance, then we tend to space the appointments out more. Sometimes in terms of how long it actually takes, if it's something that's like a simple, someone's leaking urine when they sneeze or cough, that never happened before, we kind of just give some simple strategies, give them some feedback with their pelvic floor, and it maybe only takes a couple sessions. For somebody that has a few things going on, maybe they've been going on for a long time, maybe it's their youngest is now 5 and they've had this since their first delivery 10 years ago, that's obviously going to take a little bit longer, just like any other kind of injury or thing you would go to PT for if you've had a more chronic issue. And then the other thing that affects it is what their goals are. So if somebody wants to run a marathon, then it's probably going to take longer in PT to get them to that goal versus if somebody's goal is, I just want to comfortably walk my toddler, my baby to the park. So a lot of things go into that. So there's not a super easy answer. The second question of, is it ever too late? That is an easy answer. And the answer is no. So it's never too late. I definitely see people years and years after their youngest baby and still can make really good gains. So again, we wouldn't treat any other injury or problem that we're having with our bodies. Like we wouldn't just say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to live with this and there's nothing I can do about it. It's probably too late to look at my rotator cuff issue or whatever. If it was really bothering us, we probably get that taken care of. And yet sometimes we don't think of pelvic health in the same way, but it is truly never too late.
One thing I was just thinking in terms of how long it takes to have any sort of benefit from it. I hear from moms, and this is where it's kind of on the other side of something you might hear. I hear from moms all the time. I went to physical therapy and I learned so much and I felt great just by having somebody talk to me about my body and the benefit that comes from addressing what's actually happening for you rather than all of the things that you do after you have a baby, where it's all about your baby. And no one says, how are you? How are you feeling? What's happening for you, both whether it's physical or emotional health? And just all of the positive impact that comes from that. I hear so many times from moms, I went to that first visit and I immediately felt better when somebody actually addressed what was happening for me. So yeah. I feel like that's another sort of byproduct that you might not hear, but I certainly hear quite a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of the ultimate self-care, right? You're really taking that time for yourself. And that's hard. I've been there. I know that's not easy. That's nice to hear from your perspective, for sure.
Yeah.
What would you say to the mom who tells you that her OB doesn't think that she needs PT? Have you ever been in that situation where her OB suggested not, but you think she does need the PT?
Yeah, I was that person, actually. Unfortunately, when I went to my 6-week appointment after my first baby, I kind of expressed to my OB my concerns. And she said, well, when you're done having babies, there's a surgery we can do. And my jaw just dropped. She knew I was a PT. And at that point, you needed a referral from your OB to go to PT. And so I just said, well, I think I need PT. Can I have a referral? She gave me one. But that experience like definitely motivated me. This is not okay. Because had I not known that physical therapy was a thing, had I not known that I had a coworker that did this at the time, I would have just been left with all of these issues and thought that I had nothing to do, nothing I could do. So the really good thing that is now, you don't need, in Illinois and in most states, if not all states, you do not need a referral from a provider to go to physical therapy. So I would say you just need to trust your gut. You know your body better than anyone else. And if something just doesn't seem right, even if your OB is like, I don't think PT is going to help you, I would say you can still go, right? I mean, the one exception is if there's some contraindication for doing PT, like there's some reason why that would not be indicated. Obviously, you have to trust your physician regarding that. But if it's just like, nah, I don't think that's really going to help you too much, then I'd say still just go. Unfortunately, I do see that. That does still happen. I think it is less and less because not only people, new moms and people after they have a baby are just more educated and more aware, but I think OBs and certainly midwives are more proponents of PT. Now they just know more about it and see how it can help.
Did you ever listen to the podcast, The Longest Shortest Time?
No.
I'll send you the information. The woman who created the podcast, she had a very traumatic birth with her daughter and had all sorts of postpartum physical manifestations of that. And I think it went on for like 3 years and went to so many different appointments and saw so many doctors, and nobody throughout the whole time told her about physical therapy. You know, this was maybe like 10 years ago. And she was like on the verge of having surgery that they were like, well, this might fix it, it might not. And finally got to physical therapy and they like resolved everything. And it's just like such a cautionary tale. I mean, there's so much benefit, and her concerns were minimized in many cases. I mean, it went on for a very long time. So I'm so grateful that people that do what you do exist, because it really can make a huge difference. And as somebody who's gone through pelvic surgery, like it's not something that you want to do unless you absolutely have to. And it's really the only option. So for sure, so much benefit. Are there other things that you feel like new or even veteran or expectant moms should know about how to take care of their bodies? Anything that you feel like we haven't touched on that everyone should know?
Yeah, I think, again, just respecting the fact of what your body went through during delivery. So even if you had this uncomplicated vaginal delivery that went really smoothly, it still is this huge event to your body and compromise to your tissues and all of that. And certainly if you had a tougher vaginal delivery or cesarean birth, that's even more so. So I think just understanding that this is a huge thing to your body, we need to respect that. We need to give yourself grace in that initial postpartum period and rest as much as you can. So let yourself rest and recover. And also, you can start doing some proactive things like right away after having a baby. So as soon as you feel ready to, you can start working on diaphragmatic breathing. You can start thinking about connection to your core, doing some gentle mobility to just not be so stiff because you're just sitting so much with that newborn. So there's definitely things that you can do. Another soapbox I get on is that 6-week clearance. That magical thing that happens as soon as you see your provider at 6 weeks and they say, okay, you're good for everything. You can exercise, you can do all the things. Well, on one hand, there's plenty of things that you can be doing prior to that in terms of this kind of reconnecting and a little bit of rehab for your body so that you can then continue to just gradually increase activity in a safe, controlled manner. And then on the other side, sometimes people think that 6-week appointments, just kind of this green light, and they bring their running shoes to the appointment, and they run out of the appointment. And so there's nothing that magically happens that makes you actually ready to get back into full exercise. And I would say the vast majority of people are not ready at 6 weeks. So respect that healing process, let yourself rest, and also know that there's things that you can do proactively. You don't just have to kind of sit and be in pain or sit and not know what's going on with your body. Also, that we touched on this a little bit, but everybody is different. Every pregnancy is different. So try not to compare what you're going through to a past postpartum period of yourself or certainly to anybody else. And that's really, really tough for new moms, such a vulnerable time. And then the final thing I want to mention is just that it's not all or nothing. Sometimes we have this mindset of, well, I have to go to PT like every week and I don't think I can do that. So I just can't do anything. Or I give somebody some things to work on. And I hear this a lot that they come back and they're like, I was a terrible patient. I didn't do my homework. I didn't do anything. So what I really like to emphasize is that it's not all or nothing. You can kind of do things throughout your day and every little bit helps. So I really like to give new moms ideas of things that they can do to piggyback on things that they're already doing. So every time you're feeding your baby, you can work on that diaphragmatic breathing, really inhaling all the way in through your nose, expanding your ribs, and then slowly exhaling. So instead of like scrolling Instagram when you're feeding, you can work on your breathing. You can work on neck stretches, right? When your baby's doing tummy time, you can be on all fours over them and be working on engaging your lower abs or doing like some gentle cat-cow, just things like that, but trying to incorporate this into what they're already doing so that it's not so overwhelming.
One thing that you just sort of a little bit mentioned, but I get this question a lot, which is, well, I had a C-section, so do I need to have physical therapy? And I know your answer, but I want everybody to hear you say it.
Yes. Just because of pregnancy, first of all, no matter how you delivered, there's a lot of changes that happen during pregnancy, like postural changes and muscle imbalances and things like that, that just because you deliver that baby doesn't mean you just snap back into perfect posture and everything's just the same. And then fortunately, you do not get a free pass on your pelvic floor if you had a cesarean. So some people that went into labor, maybe even got to the pushing phase, but then ended up having a cesarean. Of course, there's lots of changes to your pelvic floor in that scenario, but also there can be changes just based on being pregnant. So there's definitely some people that have issues with incontinence, painful intercourse, things like that, who never had a vaginal delivery. Also, just working on your incision and your scar and making sure that's moving well and healing well and not impeding your core function and your abdominal function. So there's lots of things that we can work on for people that had cesarean deliveries.
So I had 4 of those and I'm just thinking my green light wasn't running, but driving, because I wasn't allowed to drive. So I was like, I just can't get to that point fast enough so I can get in the car and drive by myself and not have someone drive me. So yeah. Well, thank you for being here with us. This was super helpful. Before we signed off, we just wanted you to share a little fun fact about yourself for all our listeners out there.
I think as moms, when people ask like for a fun fact, you're like, oh, God, am I fun?
Very true.
Like, are we supposed to have hobbies during this phase of our lives? So I guess one fun-ish fact is that I also teach fitness classes for moms. And so it's fun for me because I love doing it. I love seeing really that whole continuum. Then people come into my clinic that are really not in a great place. And maybe they're in a lot of pain or they're really having a lot of concerns. And then you know, we kind of get them better and get them to their goals. But then on the flip side, I see these moms that are really working out and getting back into fitness and feeling really good. And that's a really fun, rewarding thing for me too.
That is fun. That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Laura. And I'm so excited for everybody who listens to this to hear your answers to our questions and to just learn more about all the ways that they really can be taking care of their body after they've had a baby, whether it's recent or many years in the future. And we will share all of your information with everybody as well. So even if it's somebody who doesn't live in Chicago and can't visit Laura at Chicago Physical Therapist, where she sees patients in person, anybody can meet with her through Beyond the Bump Wellness. She provides tons of information there. And actually on her website, I believe you have courses that are already there that people can take. Like there's one about how to start running again after you've had a baby. I don't know if there's more specifics there you can tell me.
Yeah, so returning to running is a big concern that I see with people. And so I have a postpartum return to running guide, and these are kind of workshops or recordings. I also have one on painful intercourse and returning to intimacy that I do with a sex therapist also. So that's a really great one. Ton of information, also a really common concern. Prolapse, one on prolapse and one on incontinence, I believe.
Yeah. So I will share that information in the show notes. Definitely check that out. That's great information for people to be able to access no matter where you are. So thank you so much. And thanks for listening in.